chili peppers. Chili Peppers are the kind of band, Angel, that even if they make bad stuff, I still respect it. And their last album was great. 90% of it was great. 10% of it sucked. But 10% of it, I go, I get what you were trying to do here. You were trying to take us somewhere. Where are we going, Red Hot Chili Peppers? I don't know, but I'm going to enjoy it either way. Nickelback, it's like, okay, you're in love with your girlfriend. I'm sorry. It's just Lytle told you guys on the show last week, Good Morning NoCo, Kevin Lytle, said that it's trendy. It's not like Nickelback. I'm like, it's not trendy. You just don't like them.
Well, it's popular on social media. It's like, oh, a Nickelback. It's like, oh, Nickelback sucks. I can't believe you listen to that crap. It's good music.
It's not that. Is it the worst thing I've ever heard? No, it's not the worst thing I've ever heard. But I almost put in the same categories, like, you know, Justin Bieber's and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, Taylor Swift's.
They're nowhere near the same.
They're just the same.
No way.
Singing about love. What else do they got?
Like, yeah,
what
rock else? Star.
Yeah,
that's about being a rock star. You know, living life with your bus and all your guitars and the women and all that. That's fun.
Oh,
photograph. It's singing about a photograph.
That one's like the worst song ever because they replayed that when I was in college. That came out like when my freshman year is like 2005. That song was played all the time. MTV was still playing music videos back then, so it was always on. Yeah. Oh, do you even know what that is?
Yes.
Sorry, I feel like
I got like the last 2 years of that.
Yeah. Oh, that was a wild time too, man. You could just turn the TV on, MTV on, and it was just music videos nonstop. And now I get that wouldn't work because YouTube has the music videos. Do people still really make music videos? Is that a thing?
They do. I don't think people watch them anymore. I can't remember the last music video where I was like, oh my God, you got to see the video.
Like, they're on YouTube if you wanted to see them, you know. Some of them do. But why waste the time? I don't need to see it anymore. But yeah, MTV, like, it was cool. But it is funny because people are like, I remember when MTV was good and they used to just play music video. I don't know why they talk like that. I'm like, well, it's not that that's a way. If you want to see music videos, you can go to YouTube. They have them there. Any music video you want to see, you can see it at any time. If it's available, you can just go watch a music video. MTV told you what you would be watching. And if you didn't like it, tough. You're going to just wait for it. You got to wait till the next song. And then a commercial. And then the real world would hit. And then road rules. And all these other weird stuff happened. It was a weird time. It must be like that kind of day because I heard Tanner and Brian talking about Blockbuster. Like, I'm talking about MTV. They were talking about Blockbuster today. Those are different times, man.
Yeah, it was, what was the worst job you ever had? Somebody had said they were a Blockbuster employee.
And they had to rewind.
Yeah, they had to rewind tapes and stuff.
That would kind of suck. You think that it would be awesome to work in Blockbuster. It just seems cool. Like, the vibe was awesome. But you probably did spend a lot of your time rewinding VHSs. VHS tapes is what they were. Yep. I remember the coolest thing was when I got a TV that had the VHS player in it. Like, it was one and the same. It wasn't secondary. It wasn't an external piece to it. You just had it. And that was like the best thing ever. I got this TV, I brought it upstairs, and it's like, there's nothing I have to plug into it. The little opening for the VCR tape is right below the TV. So I just popped that in. And it was amazing. And rewinding, and you'd have to wait there for a little bit. Rewind the whole thing. It was a completely different world, man. But Blockbuster was so cool. I loved going into Blockbuster. Like, just going and checking out, standing around looking at videos, just kind of getting in that mode. They were usually playing movies up on their TVs in there. It was cool, man. I didn't do it a lot because growing up in Eastern Colorado, we didn't have a Blockbuster. They had like 8 movies at the grocery store you could rent. That was pretty much it.
We had a Blockbuster, and we used to go there a lot. But before that, we went to a Hollywood Video.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
those? Yeah.
That's the one we always went to.
Yeah, Hollywood Video was cool, too. It seemed like it was bigger. I don't know. There was one in Loveland I went to, and it was cool. First Advantage text line, 888-530-5767. 0043. All that stuff, man, it seems like, I don't know, things come back around. Do you think that VHSs are going to come back around? Because we're seeing vinyl records come back around. They're cool now. Like, that makes you cool. I have some now, and I don't know why. Because it's a pain in the ass to take it out of the cover and then open up your record player, which is cool, and then get it going and get it on the right song. It's I could just put the CD in and pop it in and go to track two, and here we go.
I think it's the sound of it.
Oh, it does sound differently. It does sound really cool. It's just got that old poppy sound. It's cool.
Like the little crackles.
Yes. And I love, like, we put it on for Christmas a lot of times because we have one and it's in our den and we'll pop and put Christmas stuff there. And that's good. But like, if I'm wanting to listen to my stuff that's just me, it's hard for me to go, I'm going to put, oh, but you know what? I set it a new album, a new one. Let me take this all out of here and restart it. But it does seem like some of that stuff is starting to come back. But Blockbuster and such, like, those, that's never going to come back, right?
No, I think Netflix did a good job of finishing them off.
Because it's cool, as much as we like...
Netflix used to, like, you'd have to get the CDs delivered to
you. I remember that, too.
And then it was like, no, we're just going to put it in your house.
That was groundbreaking, too. It's like, I just have a CD here at my house, and I watch it. Oh, I'm done with it. Mail it back. I get another one. That was groundbreaking. But yeah, as much as I like to talk about, oh, going into Blockbuster was so cool, I much rather would not go. Like, it was cool,
you
but
have to get up and leave.
I do like going into Barnes & Noble to look at books. If I'm going to buy a book, I like to go buy it there. I don't buy books online. I do read. I like to go into Barnes & Noble and look around and just kind of get in that mode and then look down the aisles of different books and books and books, and that's cool. That's something that I don't, hopefully doesn't go away. But they've diversified. They sell other stuff, too. So that probably helps them a little bit.
Yeah, I can't do books online. I got to be able to turn the page and I don't like this book and just close it.
But even like ordering a book online, ordering a paperback or whatever, I don't like to do that.
Unless I know the author and it's like, oh, this is the next book in a series.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But even then, it's still just cool to go. I like going. Used bookstores are cool, too. I know we got this one downtown. Midnight Oil, that's really cool. And they've opened up a bigger spot, too, so it's cool. But I'm seeing that kind of stuff. And then the video games. Like, I follow all these guys now that just, dude, they just play old video games, and you just watch them play it. And I'm like, what am I doing here? Watching the old Ninja Turtle arcade games? The best ever. Now I want to go back and do that. People are doing that. They're actually buying consoles and just going back and playing those games. Which is crazy to me, because growing up, I hated playing old stuff. It was always, I needed the new. But now people are going back and playing what they grew up with.
Because the new stuff's not as good.
So it depends. You know, like the Maddens. Madden now.
Madden is what it is.
Are you liking the new version of Madden? Because Tanner always hates it, except for when he's winning, he's fine. And he's losing, he hates it.
I haven't had as many glitches in this one.
I haven't really either.
The gameplay feels almost like just cleaner,
mm-hmm.
a little bit, like just the presentation of the game that you're playing in it's almost faster. I mean, these next gen consoles are insane.
Oh,
like you start like play game and it's up in 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's finding, if you play online, it's like finding your opponent, found him, you're on the field.
It's like, great, I just played an entire season in 3 hours.
Yeah, it's amazing. Texter from the 970. Our thing was renting Nintendo games at Blockbuster. The challenge was beating the game in 3 days before we had to return it. Yeah, we did that a few times. That was the cool thing, man. Those old Nintendo games, just to buy the little, whatever those were, those little consoles, what they came in, they had the little picture, little sticker that they stuck on the plastic cover of it. And if it didn't work right, you pull it out and you blow on it. I don't know if there was ever any science to that, but it seemed to work.
I think you're supposed to not do that. Because of moisture.
I remember with the Xbox, we had a scratched game. And it always just scratched at this certain time. There was always a scene in this game where just you could get there, you could restart the game, whatever, you get there, and it would freeze. And we looked it up online. It said a very thin layer of toothpaste is supposed to fix it.
Yep.
It didn't work for us. Did it work for you?
I think I used too much toothpaste.
I think we did,
But I've seen several instances where it does work. I think the old breathe on it, rub it on your shirt. The disc will get clean at some point.
Yeah, I always did that.
Unless it's like broken, it'll work.
Maybe then you tape it, put it in there.
Yeah. Destroy your system at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the systems. Like back in the day, if your system went out for some reason, it was just out. But I remember the Xbox 360, I think, it would get what they call the red ring of death.
Yep.
And that's when you're like, oh my God, what is this?
Like unfixable at that point.
Yeah, because you turn it on and it's always green because the Xbox is green and all that stuff. You turn it on and it turned red. And you were just like, that's it.
So it's scary red.
It's scary. It's like, what is happening? Is it turning evil? Those different times, man. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. You excited about this Super Bowl matchup, Philadelphia, Kansas City, assuming everybody can get kind of healthy?
I am. I think this is I think San Francisco's story kind of ran out, unfortunately, with Brock Purdy getting hurt. And who knows what that quarterback situation is going to be now if he has a long-term injury or anything like that. The Bengals, I wanted them to lose. I was tired of the cockiness and the, oh, Burrowhead, and we own the Chiefs. Like, no, you don't, you just don't. This is Patrick Mahomes' world. Until he loses, no one can replace him yet.
And the Bengals had their number, I guess. Burrow did, but, you know, it's still got to be Kansas City and Arrowhead. It's still tough to do. I want to talk about that game a little more detail, but let's go to the San Francisco game. Now, I picked Philadelphia to win and cover, but it did suck for San Francisco that's how it went down. That Brock Purdy gets out, hurts his arm early. Then Josh Johnson, who's been on almost half the teams in the NFL, they only mentioned that 37 times, he gets a concussion, and you have no choice but to put Brock Purdy back in the game, who can't really do anything with it. Threw four passes the entire game. I mean, that sucks. That is a terrible way to see that end for San Francisco. Such a good team. Now, like I said, I picked Philadelphia to win this thing in cover, so I would have said, yeah, they still win in cover. But it just sucks that you didn't get to see what should have been a much better game, because Brock Purdy by no means ever fizzled. He never did. He got hurt. He went, what did he win? His first eight starts?
Seven.
Seven starts. And in this game, he got hurt too early, and you can't say that this was a bad performance at all by him. So the question is wide open for San Francisco. Nothing should tell San Francisco that Purdy's not the guy. Now they're just going to have to trust their gut. If he's the guy, you got to say, can you do it all season now? When the film is out on who you are as a player, can you be that guy? Or do they go with Trey Lance? Or do they stick with Jimmy Garoppolo? Or do they go after Tommy Bones? And so nothing was really solved by this. But San Francisco, bummer of a way to lose. Ultimately losing 31-7. Why didn't they challenge that? What play was that late? Was it Devonta Smith, the one that you were talking about? It was early. Was it?
It was like the
first quarter.
I think first drive almost for Philly.
They go for it on fourth down.
Yep.
They go deep. Smith catches it. Looks like an amazing catch. I thought that maybe, though, a lot of stuff goes on when that ball gets pulled down underneath your belly. Did it come out? And it sure as hell did. Why didn't San Fran challenge that?
I don't know. It was back to the communication between officials and whoever is watching the video monitors. Like, I don't know. Who are these replay officials? Who are they?
Yeah,
why don't we have any interviews with them? But then you see Devontae Smith get up immediately, and he starts slamming his hands together almost like an audible, saying, hey, let's hurry up.
Yeah, he knew it.
Like, he knew it.
That's the telltale
sign.
And
then they scored the very next play.
Yeah, but see, why didn't... Because San Fran should have challenged that. Since it wasn't a scoring play, that's on them. That's on Kyle Shanahan to challenge that play.
Well, oftentimes it's their own...
Their own video guys.
Looking at, say, hey, coach, we saw that, but it happened so quickly.
And anytime you see a player get up and say, hurry, we got to get to the line, that's the most obvious one in the world. The best thing for you to do.
Communication to get from the booth down to the coach who is trying to get a play call in for the defense, and then, oh, I got to pull my challenge flag. Oh, wait, they snapped. It's play over.
Yeah. Eastside Chris asked this question. Tanner brought this up, too. I want to read some of those in a minute. I will. Would McCaffrey have been the better choice to replace Johnson instead of Purdy? Can McCaffrey throw?
I mean, physically, yes, he could throw a football.
Can he throw? Can he Is it going to look like the Broncos when they didn't have a quarterback a couple years ago? Is that what it, is it going to be that bad?
I don't think that bad, no. I think McCaffrey could be a better quarterback than Hinton.
Is McCaffrey a better quarterback than a one-armed Brock Purdy, basically? Should you have gone with McCaffrey and just did the Wildcat stuff? Which, is that even in their offense? I don't know.
He has a brother that played quarterback, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I mean, you're a football guy. It's. I think he could have made a couple of throws. I just don't think Shanahan trusted anybody in that offense to figure it out. When you have to go, you're game planning all week with Purdy. He goes out. Now we got to throw our fourth string guy in who knows how many plays he actually knows all season.
Right, and for McCaffrey, that's the thing people don't realize is when you're saying, well, just put McCaffrey in at quarterback. All the calls at the line of scrimmage, all the plays you're doing in the huddle, calling a play, dude, is really difficult. Just calling a play. Can Christian McCaffrey do all of that stuff? We can't just assume just because they're a great athlete that they can just come in and be quarterback. If that's the case, then why are we drafting quarterbacks in the first rounds all the time?
No, he's got to be able to get the play call. You saw him try to almost switch his helmet so he can get one with a radio in it. But then the play call is 20 or so words. And normally he's just listening for two words of that, and that's my job on this play.
Right.
Otherwise, I have to read off the entire thing while in a road stadium, and I can't hear my headset in the helmet.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's Christian McCaffrey, there's really no venom.
In
there's
a
no,
high-pressure situation, because the game is still close. At
there's
that
no
point.
Threat that he's going to throw the ball, really. Okay, he might.
Once but it's going to be an obvious setup.
Right, and I get that Brock Purdy, there was really no threat either because they knew the injury was there, and they ideally knew how bad it was because he didn't come back in when he got hurt the first time, so they knew. So I'm going to say no. I would have stayed with go with Brock Purdy on that. Even though, what did he throw, four passes? It was a sucky situation. Why can't teams carry more players on their rosters? Because if it always comes down to as tight as it is, why can't you just make sure teams have to have three quarterbacks? For as much as they get hit, you get 53 players, but the third quarterback doesn't count. Like, that's just because every team should have that.
You don't have to pay him unless he plays in the game.
Right. Just you get to suit up your practice squad quarterback or whatever. You should that should just be a bonus player because
in the playoffs.
As much as we see quarterbacks get hurt, concussions now, especially with everything, they're going to be tighter on that now. Then you should get a bonus player, at least a third quarterback. Because everything else, you got enough depth. You got a lot of offensive linemen that you can mix and match. I mean, if all your receivers went out and all you had were tight ends, okay, whatever. Tight ends are like receivers now. That's fine. Then you can do that. But a quarterback is different. And it was a bad look. I do think the NFL should say, hey, you got your roster. You have so many guys you can suit up. Third quarterback does not count against you. So you have to carry one. And most teams have a practice squad quarterback. So I think they all do. So just put your practice squad quarterback and suit him up. Give him the experience of a lifetime. 23 minutes after the hour. Back to the Bengals-Chiefs game. The poll question was, I just wanted to see where you guys were. You know, my poll question was, based on what you saw last night in the AFC Championship game, do you believe the NFL's fixed? And I do not. I just don't think the concept is as far-fetched as some of you are coming at me with. It's not as far-fetched as you think. I don't think the fix was in. I think the Chiefs won that game outright, and I think they almost, they're on the 50-yard line driving the ball, Angel, and I thought they were going to go up two touchdowns. But Patrick Mahomes had just, like a little banana peel, slips out of his hand. And Cincinnati capitalizes. Chiefs end up winning this game, though. They get the stop when it mattered the most. And, it felt like the refs were bad. There were some clunky things in this one. But I just have a hard time being that guy that goes to it and says, that's why they lost. That's why the Bengals aren't going to the Super Bowl. Because bad officiating. Were there weird things that happened? Even the 3rd and 16, like the intentional grounding, the Bengals got the first down after that. That didn't end their possession. So they got the first down with plenty of time to go down and score. But Frank Clark got the sack. Maybe his biggest play of his career. adding on to his defensive MVP type season. The third and nine is clunky, but I'm not like losing my mind over it. I kind of get it. And then, of course, the hit out of bounds was a hit out of bounds. And then some people are like, yeah, but you don't call that in that situation. It was clear. It wasn't like Mahomes had 1 foot about to land out of bounds. He was fully out of bounds, and we just continued to push him. And that's a big deal. And Joseph Asai, I feel terrible for that guy. That sucks. But he was clearly out of bounds. So no, I don't think the fix is in. I just saw a lot of activity last night about, man, the refs are fixing this game. This is scripted. Da, 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 da. That's been kind of a theme this year that's been brought up more and more, don't you think? More people have talked about the NFL being scripted. Is that just because Twitter is what it is?
Yeah, I think that's mostly Twitter. I think it's dumb, but the whole DeMar Hamlin thing kind of sped that up a little bit. Like, oh, now the Bills are going to go win the Super Bowl because of Hamlin and all of that. And I don't know. It's so hard to fathom an idea that they would have the entire season planned out when you can't account for injuries, you can't account for coaching decisions in certain, you know, scenarios, 46 left hash. But you can't predict this stuff.
No.
Now, can you skew and influence certain things in a game? Yes, but it'd be hard to find concrete evidence that this call at this time affected this team in this way that caused them to lose a game.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. 27 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, let's take a quick break. It was kind of a rough weekend for basketball. It really was. CSU. I thought they hung tough for a while, but Boise State just went off, couldn't miss. UNC lost to Northern Arizona, which Northern Arizona is better than that record shows, and I'm not just making excuses. I talked about that last week. This game kind of scared me. The Buffs lost. They lose to Oregon State. The Nuggets lost to the Sixers. The Nuggets will still be fine. But as far as our other teams here, CSU's 10-12. UNC is 7-14. Wyoming 6-14. Colorado's 12-11. This was not the season we thought we were going to have with local college basketball.
No, but thank God for National Signing Day this week.
Yes! I'm ready for football. Spring
Let's
ball.
Go.
Spring ball's not that far away. I know it's freezing out there, but it's not that far away. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Is this one of their new ones? Who would know? They all sound the same. Welcome back into the show. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They're now Greeley's hometown orthopedic group. They're open for all appointments beginning at 8 o'clock in the morning. And they have on-call physicians that are available for same-day appointments for non-surgical visits. Check them out online at orthohealth.com or stop by one of their locations here along the Front Range throughout Fort Collins, Loveland, and Greeley. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Again, college basketball, Angel, still like with the Bears, it's still, you know, doesn't really matter how they finish in the Big Sky. They won't get in that large bit anyway. So it is still about what they do in the tournament. I've got to tell you, man, I'm having my doubts about UNC. I got Montana. They're on the road against Montana on Thursday. And then on Saturday at Montana State. Got to start finding ways to win some basketball games, man. It's just you know, just hasn't been great. This team that was picked to finish, what, second in the Big Sky Conference? And but they have three of the three star players. Now, we didn't know Dalton Knecht was going to be as good, but he is. So you would think, man, three star players, maybe three of the best in this conference. And what do you got? One Big Sky win? Two Big Sky wins? Two of them? I think they got two. That's a rough go right now for Steve Smiley's crew, who's never had a losing season since taking over as the head coach of the UNC Bears.
Yeah, definitely tough, but I think we're going to see how this program and how this coaching staff and some of these players respond when you have such high expectations going into a season where everyone's looking. Matt and Dalen have to be the big-time guys, and Dalton Knecht has to help there too. But we're, you know, we can overlook the fact that they don't really have a big man.
Yeah.
They don't really have experience outside of your top three because there's so many freshmen that are getting playing time. And that's, you know, good because you want to see them develop with Coach Smiley and under his system. But not having that kind of physical presence down low in the paint is hurting this team.
If Core John Cooch was still here, I think you'd see the reverse record.
Absolutely.
I mean, why did he leave? You just want to change? Because he still had a year of eligibility.
He's still had a year. He's doing some good things at Temple right now.
Did they beat Houston?
Yeah.
And he was, I think he was a contributor.
He had the game-winning block.
Wow.
But that's I mean, college, that's college.
That's
sports.
College. Good dude. Good story. If he would have stayed, man, you might have seen, yeah, like you said, the opposite of what we've seen so far. But not the case. UNC 7-14 looking to get back at it on Thursday at 7 o'clock. We'll have that game for you here on KFK. 35 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Twitter can be a fun place sometimes. I just saw Chandler Parsons. He's not playing anymore, right? I don't think. He just tweeted out LeBron's little freak out after the foul and said, I could watch my dog get ran over by the mailman and still not react like that. Honestly, I think he was joking, but I'm thinking of that truthfully. I don't see many people reacting that way. If their dog died, it would be like sad, but not flailing all over the place like a child.
Oh, it was toddlerish.
Does he think that that's cool? Because he looked up at the camera like, do they got me? Here we go. Does he think he's comparing to the Kobes and Michael Jordans of the world? They don't make asses out of themselves on national TV.
I honestly don't think there was a single thought in his head at that moment other than, why didn't I just get the call? I'm LeBron James. I'm the greatest player or greatest human to ever walk the face of the earth with a basketball.
Everything about LeBron is always got to be so dramatic.
Why did the game come down to that play call, LeBron? Why didn't you score 50 more points?
And you were going to overtime. Get up and win the game. Get up and win the damn game. That was so frustrating. Just absolutely ridiculous. I couldn't believe. Yeah, again, I saw the call. It was a foul. Absolutely was a foul call. No doubt about it. But it just, I looked at that and I'm like, man, you can't react that way. You know, I'm not the biggest LeBron fan in the world. His, just kind of his overall demeanor has always kind of annoyed me. You know, always bringing books to the press conferences that are like, just open. It's like, when do you plan on reading that? You're gonna read it here? Oh, you're just bringing it out so people know that you're reading that book. Is that why? Why not just bring a sign out that says, I'm reading this book? Instead of actually bringing the book out. Because it's not like he's going to stop in the middle of the press conference. Hold on, let me get this chapter done real fast, gang. Yeah, okay. All right. Fantastic. Here we go. Why bring a book out with you? Who would do that? Oh, somebody that wants you to know that they're reading the book. Ugh. Stupid. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What a weekend, though. AFC and NFC championship games were really interesting. You know, Philadelphia did what I thought. I didn't think they'd smoke them, but again, I didn't think they'd be down to a one-armed quarterback at the end. Then the Kansas City, Cincinnati. That's the one we're all talking about, right? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Do we have to take a bottom of the hour break? Okay, we're good. We're good. We're set.
Good for a little bit.
I thought we were over again because last hour was all over the damn place. I just keep waiting to see what's going to happen with this Broncos situation. Zach, after we talked to him earlier in the 11 o'clock hour, I kept hearing Mike Kafka was kind of in the running too, Giants offensive coordinator, which would be kind of cool because Kafka kind of is like KFKA.
Ah.
Take out the A. Might have an endorsement deal there with him.
Kafka.
I was really looking forward to that. However, Zach retweeted Tom Pelissero's tweet. The Cardinals will interview Mike Kafka on Tuesday for their head coaching job. Kafka is also a candidate for the Colts job. Previously interviewed with the Panthers and Texans. A lot of action after his impressive first season as a play caller. Why is it taking so long for everybody? The Panthers are the only one to get it done, right?
I think a lot of them were waiting on this weekend to wrap up. I don't foresee any changes coming to the Kansas City coaching staff unless Bieniemy wants to try out again. Philly, maybe their DC, Gannon, might be looking for a job. But in terms of San Francisco, I think there's going to be a lot of teams looking at that coaching staff to try to grab some guys like a Ryans, maybe like another defensive assistant, maybe one of the offensive guys. And then Cincy, I don't know if Cincy's going to lose anybody. So,
well, you're looking at the Eagles offensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon, too. His name's come up quite a bit. His name came up a lot before the search began, before the firing began. I heard his name in the mix a lot. Then it kind of went quiet, and now I'm hearing it again. But either way you go here, with all the conflicting reports, with the Jim Harbaughs deciding to go back to Michigan, but maybe that's still an option, with Sean Payton. Sean Payton hasn't had a second interview, Angel.
With anybody?
I don't believe so. Am I wrong on that? I don't think he's had a second interview. Maybe with Arizona? Maybe. But it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of momentum with him right now. Why is that? Because of the Saints' high price? Now they're saying two first-round picks. Again, if
no one has that,
if you weren't in on the first-round pick idea with a second and a third, then you're not in on this idea. Don't overspend here. You have to fight. I wish Jim Harbaugh would have worked out. But I'm still not into this mortgaging your future twice in a row, 2 years in a row, mortgaging your future on a coach and a quarterback, which we all agree those are two of the most important things in the NFL. I get that. But you've already mortgaged your future on a quarterback that you're not sure is going to work out. Do you want to mortgage your future on a quarterback that you're not sure is not going to work out? And also, how does this new coach mix with the quarterback I'm not sure is going to work out? And at least if it fails, you didn't give up two first-round picks for it. So you can still try to rebuild at some point. Is Greg Penner, like, I heard this being said a few times, like, did they realize that it was going to be this difficult when they bought the team? Like, they're already in it, knee-deep in this thing. It's time to fix it. You couldn't throw a quarterback at it and fix it. It didn't work. So Greg Penner demotes George Payton, and now it's all on him. And I would say this has been the worst hiring process I've ever witnessed. Since watching the Broncos, and just talking about the Broncos in particular.
I wouldn't say they're, like, regretting it as much, because they didn't know. When they bought the team, it was, okay, you got your shiny new coach, you got your shiny veteran quarterback who's on a long-term deal now, everything was moving in the right direction, and then it completely fell apart. And so now the ownership saying, oh, well, we walked into this thinking you guys knew what you were doing. Clearly you don't, so we're going to take control of this. Oh, wait, we don't know what we're doing either.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like you don't know what you're doing. Because all of the candidates that you've wanted have walked away going, I can live without this job. And what we heard in the rumor mill was that Sean, and again, he came out on Twitter and put it away, but the rumor mill said that Sean Payton liked the idea of working with Russell Wilson. Well, clearly Russ has his number, so they must be friends. But sensed there might be a power struggle with Denver. Now, Payton came out and said, false. We had a great conversation. And I said to that, well, what's he supposed to say? If he lets it go and doesn't address it, people are going to think he's airing out dirty laundry of what the Broncos are doing and how they're doing it. But here's what I'm saying. I think it's true. I think there might be a power struggle right now. I think that it's a group of owners. Greg Penner's supposed to be the guy handling day-to-day, but it's a group of owners. We've heard Condoleezza Rice's name a lot and how she has a connection with this guy and this guy and this guy. So you just wonder, is there a real power struggle going on? The hunting story that turned out to be false as well. This is the problem when things are bad. You start hearing goofy stories. If everything was good, you wouldn't hear this crap.
They either don't know what they're doing or they have some elaborate backdoor plan to get their real candidate.
They either don't know what they're doing or maybe they know what they're doing too much.
They're outthinking themselves.
Noob says on LeBron, you notice LeBron never gets past the first page. Well, it's always like he just opened it and said, I'm going to bring this out there with me for my press conference. I'm going to read it in between questions. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. What is on the tube on this Monday night? Anything? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
.152, welcome back into the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Texter here from the Weld County Swami. Does the entire perception of this change if they are waiting the Saints out and Sean was the choice all along? Well, then they screwed up there too because the price just went up. Because now it's two first-round picks. That's what we're hearing. When I had heard it was a first, second, and third, it is now two first-round picks. No, Jim Harbaugh, everything I've heard, Jim Harbaugh was their first choice. He was plan A. And then it changed. He decided to go back to Michigan. They haven't had any real second interviews except for Jim Harbaugh because secretly Greg Penner flew out to Michigan to talk to Jim at that point. So that's the only second interview they've had. To my knowledge, they have not asked Sean Payton to do a second interview. Before they could ask Dan Quinn, he was back with Dallas, which I guess could potentially still be on the table if they offer him a lot of money. But now you're going to go ask these guys again. Hey, I know last week you said no, but what if we up it to $10 million? My heart's not in it, but it might be for $12 million more. That's where to go with that. Yeah, that's the problem. That's what worries me about Harbaugh and Quinn. I've already outlined my worries with Sean Payton. Who is it then? Because now D'Amico's out. Evero's out. Like all the David Shaw's out. All the others that I kind of was like, these might be okay. We'll see. Are gone. Is it going to be Jonathan Gannon? I mean, D'Amico Ryan's going to be with Houston before too long. Probably a matter of hours at this point. It's got to be Jonathan Gannon then, I guess. Congratulations. I mean, listen, it's not a knock on him. It's just his name wasn't in the running last week, and now suddenly he's like a favorite? The favorites are still Harbaugh and Quinn. The favorites, not the odds-on favorites. Just that's their favorite.
It's also a situation where Gannon, because he's prepping for a Super Bowl, and he might realize, oh, the Broncos are the only ones that don't have a coach. I'm going to stay here.
I'm going to stay here.
All right, here in Philly.
There's other jobs that will open up next year. The ownership situation, I've said it from the beginning, is far from stable It's a new group. They are rookies. They don't know what they're doing right now. They are interviewing a coach. This has been the clunkiest interview process I've ever seen from the Broncos. So that right there tells me, no, this is not a stable ownership group. Could they get there someday? Absolutely. But they're rookies. Maybe they should have given Nathaniel Hackett that same kind of patience. I don't know. We'll be back out on a Tuesday. Big interview coming up. Broncos cornerback, the second best, maybe the best cornerback in the NFL, Patrick Surtain, will be on the show tomorrow. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.